don't know what goes on in this technological world, but I know it sure does appear that the enemy does not like that we gather together, and especially that we are focusing on getting free and going far and doing what it is that God has called us to do. Nevertheless, we praise you, Father God. We praise you. We give you glory. We give you power. We give you honor. We give you all of the praise because you are worthy. You are worthy of all of our praise. And Lord, I don't know where I would be without you. I don't know, like, the breath that I breathe, where I would be moment to moment in my life without you. And Lord, I just declare for every lady on this call, we need you. We need you, Lord. We need you more than the food that we eat, more than the air that we breathe. We need you, Father. And we declare that you have the highest place in our life, the very highest place in our life, that there is nothing that is higher than you, Father God. So right now we ask that you would be in that position, that you would be the banner over us, that you would cover us, that you would direct us, that you would instruct us, that you would be everything that we need, and that our lives would reflect your glory, your honor, in Jesus' name. Okay, well, we have a couple of little housekeeping issues, and we're just going to go ahead and kind of wing it through this to share with you what the Lord put on my heart for this, our second live call. But there were a couple of things that we needed to address right from the get-go, and one of them is the issue of fasting. We've had lots of people on many of the Women's Empowerment University walls and in the classes that are asking questions about a hard fast and a water-only fast. And Donna posted this on our wall, and I thought, since it's, you know, kind of there's a lot of prayer and fasting that we do here in our classes, that it was well worth reading exactly what she posted. And again, this is on the public, the private secret Facebook wall for this group, Beyond Breakthrough. Donna says, this question is coming up in other classes as well, so it sounds like we need to do a better job of clarifying. Nowhere does WEU ever advocate a water-only fast. Nowhere. Never have, never will. At WEU, we have laid out a wide variety of safe, healthy options for extended fasting, and none of them are water-only. They include the Master Cleanse, which is fresh lemon, grade B maple syrup, and cayenne pepper. Number two is the cabbage soup recipe, pureed in a Vitamix or a blender. The exact recipe we have is listed on, and the link is there on the page. Freshly juiced vegetables along with boiled bone broth. Number four, watered-down protein shakes. And then she lists two that she uses. Number five is Cleanse for Life, which is an Isagenix product. And she says, I do apologize for not doing a better job of clarifying this for everyone. And then she asks, please make sure to address this on the call tonight. This is the official policy of WEU. So we're going to get right into it. The next thing that we wanted to talk about is for the Star 6, if you have Star 6 and you have received live prayer from either Donna or I in the last week or two, please wait and allow other women. So if you have Star 6 in the past week, please allow some other ladies to get some live prayer tonight. We really have a ton of ladies that get on these calls. Lots of ladies are still waiting at the end. And our calls really are designed to be about an hour, so we try to get through the teaching portion and still leave enough time to pray for some ladies. Sometimes Donna has more flexibility than I do and can stay on longer, but most of you will learn about me. I really try to honor my family. That's been one of my balancing acts in ministry, is honoring my husband and my family. So when I say that we'll have an hour call, it typically is an hour. So those are just our housekeeping items. Thank you, ladies, for being quiet or for star sixing while we have this. I want to get right into what it is that God showed me. I was so excited earlier in the week. I had thought I was going to go a different direction this week, and God said, no, this is what we're going to talk about right now. And I am always totally okay to do whatever the Holy Spirit wants to be done. Holy Spirit is far smarter than I am, has a much better way of laying things out in the time that they need to be laid out. And so I was going to share a different thing, and this is what God had me chewing on. I've really been meditating on my hunger for the Lord, and I know lots of us ladies have been sharing about eating and fasting as a challenge, and other hungers as well. Hungers for shopping, hungers for validation and approval, hunger for justice, just all kinds of different things. But I've been thinking during this class about my hunger for the Lord. And this is what he has had me pondering on this week. I've been considering the Israelites' journey through the wilderness. Now, for those of you that don't know, I've written a book about this. My third book is called Recovery to Destiny, Journey to the Promised Land. So this particular story in the Bible is something that I have often pondered. And the concept of escaping Egypt and living with a promised land mindset, living with the mindset positioned in the promised land, because that was what God intended for us, was to have the ability to possess the promised land. But some of us have really been working this through, letting go of more of our desires of the flesh. And so in light of that, I kind of saw this story in with a whole new spin on it. So here's what I've been thinking about. The Lord leads us just as he led the children of Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness. There's a purpose for the dry times. Oftentimes, we find this pattern. He humbles us, then he tests us. Why? So that we can know our heart's true nature. So let me say that again. He takes us into the wilderness, and there's a purpose for the dry times that are there. There, he humbles us and he tests us so that we can know what our heart's true nature is. As the Israelites wandered through the wilderness, they had all they needed, but they didn't have what they wanted. How often do we find that we have all we need, but we're still discontent? We have all we need. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3 says, so he humbled you, well, of course I asked, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So what happened here? By removing anything that would have satisfied the desires and wants of the flesh, God created hunger. And even all the while, he was still meeting their fundamental needs. But it says, he humbled them and allowed them to hunger and fed them with manna. So this is where the test came in. He wanted to see if they would desire him instead of what they had left behind. And we find this challenge in front of us almost every single day. Will we seek him or what our flesh craves? Will we hunger and thirst for righteousness or for comfort and pleasure? So how did they respond? Well, probably like many of us do. Here in Numbers 11, 4 through 6, it says this. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. I find it funny how although we were slaves in Egypt, all they could think about were the things that they had left behind there. True bondage, true slavery, and we're the same as we crave the things of the world. These are strongholds that keep calling us back to our Egypt. And we do just what they did. And just like God heard their cry, I imagine that he hears ours too. Then Psalms 106, verse 15, and then again, 78, verses 29 and 30. Put them together, it says this. He gave them their request, so they ate meat, quail, and were well filled. for he gave them their own desire. They were not deprived of their craving, but he sent leanness into their soul. Okay, that's really had me chewing this week. He gave them their request. They were able to eat. They were well filled. He gave them their own desire. They were not deprived of their craving, but he sent leanness into their soul. They got what they wanted, but at a very high price. They got what they desired, but the price was leanness of soul. This leanness of soul made them unfit to endure, unable to pass God's test, and ultimately, they never entered his promised land. It wasn't the meat that they craved that was the sin. It was the revelation of the dissatisfaction in their hearts. Some of us this week, as we've been seeking the source and as we've been taking out the trash, for some of us, that dissatisfaction of what God has provided, that's our sin. We have everything we need, and yet we're not satisfied. We keep, our flesh keeps screaming out for these intense cravings, and God says, okay, have them. But the result is going to be the leanness of your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. They despised his method of leading. It was their intense desire for the former things which also enslaved them. But they had remembered it as being prison. How many of us, when we think about that intense food craving, we don't remember all the guilt and shame in that moment, how we feel about ourselves afterward when we just can't get some self-discipline in our life. We remember those things as pleasant. I think it's funny how we can have spiritual amnesia. Are you selective about what you want to remember? Do you try to keep your memory of Egypt as being pleasing? But you quickly forget the bondage that came in that place where you were a slave. See, I believe that during this time right now, as we're pressing beyond breakthrough, that God is watching to see whether or not we will seek his face or his hand. Are we seeking his face? Are we coming to a place where we really desire a relationship where we are naked and unashamed with him? Or do we come to him simply for what he provides? We need to create the space in our lives where we can hear God speaking to us. That's part of that fasting zone, getting in that zone, is hearing from him. As we spend time in his presence, pressing into him, we end up growing by leaps and bounds in how we hear from him. Hearing from him changes everything. Everything changes when you know you're hearing from God. Knowing that we have clearly heard makes all the difference in the world. So real quick, I want to go through a kind of a, God said that we were going to be coming to our senses. So I loved how he showed me this. How does God speak and how do we hear? More importantly, how can we stand in this prophetic promises that we're going to come to our spiritual senses so we can learn how to perceive God when he speaks? So here's just kind of a mini little teaching in all of this. I'll take just a moment, and I want to share about hearing, seeing, and feeling. We may hear God's voice, as Samuel did. We may see God's voice, as in vision. We may also feel God's voice through our senses. Here's a little list. This is not exhaustive at all, but this will show you some ways that God speaks. I'm also going to give you tons and tons and tons of verses. So somebody, I hope, is taking notes. I won't have the ability to go back and do this playback, so write them down. Somebody who's really great at capturing it all. Here are some ways that God speaks. We hear his voice audibly. We see that example in 1 Samuel 3, verse 10. And another place is Acts 9, verses 3 through 7. we may hear his voice in our spirit, that still small voice. We can find an example of that in 1 Kings 19, verse 12, and in John 14, 26. He may speak through dreams. This is part of seeing. We see this in Genesis 15, verse 1, 20, verse 3, 28, verse 12, 31, verse 10, 37, 5 through 10. We see this modeled in Daniel 2, in Matthew 1 and 2. So there are some stories just to give you some examples of how people hear and see and feel what God is saying through dreams. Then we may have an inward vision. It's not a dream, it's just a vision that we kind of see from the inside. You can find this in John 5, 19 and 20, John 8, 38, and again in John in verse 40. Then we have praying in the Spirit with interpretation. You can find that in 1 Corinthians 14, 5 and 6, 13 through 15, and 26. We may get a word of knowledge, wisdom, or discernment. We see that in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11, and in Hebrews 5, verse 14. There may be an illumination of Scripture. Have you ever heard somebody say, or maybe you've said it yourself, I don't know, I was reading the Bible and the word just left off the page. It was like it was the only thing there. I couldn't help but notice it. It just kind of jumped into my spirit. Sometimes there's actually that illumination of Scripture. When God speaks, you suddenly see a Scripture jump off the page. We might see words in our spirit, and this is a form of inward vision too. This is different than seeing pictures. Some people, when they're praying or when they're spending time with the Lord, they see pictures. But this is literally seeing words or letters. Sometimes they're even like God is writing on a billboard, in a letter, or on a piece of paper. Letters and words, actually, we can see them in our spirit. Then some of us, this is a big one for me, we might experience another person's emotions. I travel into prisons all over the United States, and often, for days before I go in, I am so emotional. I can feel the emotions. And oftentimes, if I'm tapping into one particular strong emotion, I can begin to intercede for that person and just say, God, I don't know who's going through this right now, but I feel it as if I'm going through it myself. And then I begin to pray. And oftentimes, I will come across that person and I will feel in my spirit, when I get in close proximity, I will know, wow, this person, I was feeling so much bitterness and anger and hostility, and now as they draw near to me for prayer, I feel it. And I know in my spirit, it's them. I know they're the one that I've been feeling. I experience somebody else's emotion. And this is kind of like a word of knowledge, which again is 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. We might experience another's physical feelings. When you're praying sometimes for healing, you might feel all of a sudden a little pain in one part of your body. And that's letting you know. And if you ask that person, do you have pain in your right hip? Look at somebody right now on this call. That's what the Holy Spirit told me to say was right hip. When you're praying with somebody, you may get that as a word of knowledge as well, that I'm feeling a pain in my right hip, and they go, oh my gosh, yes, my right hip. And then the Holy Spirit has just let us know exactly where and what we're going to pray. There's personal prophecy. There's a song of the Lord. Sometimes we'll just begin singing a personal prophecy. Some of you may find that as you're singing, you just begin to sing this word out of your spirit. We can see an example of that in 1 Chronicles 25, 1 through 2, and 5 and 7. And then there may be an outward or an external vision. We can find examples of that in Exodus 3, 2 through 17. In Joshua 5, 13 through 15, and in Acts 9, 3 through 7. So we can feel and see and hear God in many different ways. Knowing that we hear God, knowing that we can confidently and boldly do what God tells us to do, knowing that we have all of the authority we need to be who God has called us to be, now that launches us beyond breakthrough. The more we understand our position and the sharper we keep our sword, the more victorious we will be in the battles of our life and in the battles of those of our families and even our communities. We should be operating from a higher place. We should be operating from a high place where we're seated in heavenly places. As part of Christ's body, everything that can be named is already under our feet. Under our feet. Check this out. His incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fulfills everything in every way. The fullness of him. We are his body. And all of that it says about him is us too. Ephesians 2 verse 6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Matthew 28:18-19, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Some of us, we feel this incredible call of God upon our lives. We know that we're called to reach out into our communities and see other lost souls get saved and equip people for the works of the ministry, and our own homes are in disarray. We have dysfunctions under our own roofs. Some of us need to make disciples in our own homes. Some of us need to spend a season pressed into our children, finding out, what does this mean for us as parents? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. We have it. We have what we need. We've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Luke 10, verse 19, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. He's given us authority to overcome all the power of the enemy. That blows my mind. That tells me there is no good enough excuse why we should be living defeated, disgusted, discouraged lives. He's given us the authority to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. We really need to get a hold of that, because some of us are being harmed in our lives. 1 John 3, verse 8, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That he might destroy the works of the devil. Acts 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, if we have that same power, then we should be doing some of those same things. We talked about that in our first introduction call, that we're going to take a look at why many of us are not doing what Jesus said. Jesus said we would do greater works than even he did. And he says here, he anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. And so he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed. For God was with him. That's us too. We have that same Holy Ghost. We have that same power. We should be going about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So, if we're not, let's spend the rest of this journey and ask God, what do we need to do for our life to look like Jesus did? I don't want to be a fan of Jesus. I want to be a follower. I don't want to sit and ooh and ah and clap and shout about how great he is only. Now, I want to do those things, but I also want to follow him. And I've considered the cost. There's a high cost, no doubt about it. But you may often hear me say this, I haven't been asked to be nailed to a cross yet. I count it all joy for whatever it is that I have to lay down, whatever it is that I have to endure, whatever trials and tribulations may come my way, whatever fiery darts the enemy may want to shoot at me. Some of you followed on my Facebook and you put two and two together and realized that on last week's call, I was very sick at the time of that call. I have not gotten better yet. I have felt a little better, but this thing has not left me. Nevertheless, I'm not stopping. I'm not stopping. I know that these temporary afflictions are going to be far outweighed by his glory. That's okay. I put on there on the Facebook that it comes with the territory. Now, I'm not claiming these things and putting them out there, but I've walked on this track for quite a few years, and this has been a pattern. And nevertheless, I know what his word says. Colossians 2, verse 15, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Now, we've had technical difficulties, we've had sicknesses, and here we are. We're making a public spectacle of this ridiculousness, and we are triumphing over them by the cross. Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But we only become battle-ready warrior princesses when we sharpen our spiritual swords. We have to keep our swords sharp. And some of us, we really need spiritual surgery. Spiritual surgery occurs when the Holy Spirit takes the word and cuts deep into our innermost beings, exposing us for who we really are. For who we really are. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hiding from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Hebrews 4, 12 through 13. His word puts us through this spiritual surgery that we so need. We need him to come in with that sharp sword, sharper than any two-edged sword. We need it to pierce even to the division of our soul and spirit. We have to cut through all the garbage. We have to cut through all the nonsense. We have to cut through all of the excuses. We have to cut through all of the infirmity. We have to cut through all of the dysfunction, all of the generational nonsense. And we have to be naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So So I'd like for each of us just to do this little checklist real quick. This will kind of be our little practical self-examination things here as we kind of start wrapping up and moving in toward our prayer time. Right now, let's just allow the light of the Holy Spirit to illuminate, to bring to light some areas of our life where we need to have His holy scalpel of the Word perform surgery. For some of us, lying in the dark, there are these corners where we might find some soul spirit wounds next week. That's what I was hoping to get into this week. So maybe next week the Lord will allow me to get into that more. But we find as we shine the light back into the deep, dark corners of our lives, we find wounds. So let's ask ourselves, how many of these areas apply to us in our life? Where do we need surgery so that we can go beyond breakthrough? Maybe in the area of our inner thoughts. Ask yourself, how are my inner thoughts? How are my emotions? How are my prejudices? How are my habits? How are my motives? How are my attitudes? How are my addictions? What about my hidden sins? Spiritual surgery can only be done when we partner with the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit takes the scalpel of God's Word to our innermost being, spiritual warfare takes the sword of the Spirit, God's Word, and defeats every attack of the enemy. We should never reason with, debate with, or argue with Satan. We simply defeat him with the Spirit's sword. But to use the sword, we must know the Word, and we must be empowered to use it by the Spirit. This week, let's ask the Holy Spirit to underline the things that we need to do in our life so that we can be ready to put on God's armor and launch an offensive attack with His Word. Many of us are positioned defensively, but we have a strategy where we can be offensive in our attack by using His Word. So this week, I want to give you 6 things to ask the Holy Spirit for and to help you with. Let's ask for the Holy Spirit to help us understand the Word. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to increase our hunger and thirst for the Word. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help our ability to memorize and recall the Word. Let's ask the Holy Spirit for boldness to use and apply the Word. Let's ask the Holy Spirit for strength to defeat the enemy with the Word. And let's ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom to pray the Word in, through, and all around us. Pray the Word in, through, and all around us. Pray it in. Bring it. Bring His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Establish it in your atmosphere with the Word of God. Holy Spirit, help us to understand the Word. Increase our hunger and thirst for the Word. Help us in our ability to memorize and recall the Word. Give us boldness to use and apply the Word. Give us strength to defeat the enemy with the Word. We make it our mission this week to pray this Word in, through, and all around us. And in closing, I pray this. Father, help us walk in love. Help us to be imitators of You. Help us to walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to you for a sweet-smelling aroma. Let our lives in the same way be a fragrance to you. Help us to walk in light. For we were once darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Help us to walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to you, Lord. Show us and help us to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather to expose them so that we may be free. Thank you that all things are made manifest by the light. Thank you for sounding the alarm and awakening those of us who have been sleeping and slumbering in our spiritual lives. Sound the alarm, Lord. Thank you for raising us from the dead and giving us light. Help us to walk in wisdom, not as fools. Give us your word and more of your Holy Spirit that we may understand what your will is. We pray this. This is your word. This is your word found in Ephesians 5. We pray it in and through and around our lives. This is our prayer. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.